This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kudin. With me, Tan Chung Han and Kusu Chuang with the top business stories of the day. But before we get into those exciting stories, let me just remind you that after the 8 o'clock bulletin, we have the Breakfast Grill. And our guest this morning is Faisal Othman, CEO of Inda Water Consortium. And because Chuang, you're going to be speaking to him. Inda Water Consortium, we all get those bills, don't we? But do we all pay them?
I think. Yeah, exactly. Collections is one big issue that will be discussed, as well as the fact that, you know, Inda Water are pretty much the unsung heroes because they do all the stuff that you don't want to do yourself. And it's basically cleaning up the doggy doo-doo, you know?
Okay, let's move on.
Thank you for
I wanted to move on from that.
Huh?
I mean, just to clarify.
That's a technical term. Like an industry speak. Yeah,
oh, really?
Right. Yeah. Could you dumb it down for us, Chuang, later on? Okay. Now, the high-speed rail between Kuala Lumpur and Singapore just took another step forward. The project delivery partners for the civil works portion have been announced.
Yeah. If you've been tuning into BFM, you've been hearing it on our news bulletin. So, two consortiums have been chosen. So, the consortium that got the northern portion of the project is MRCB and Gamuda. The consortium that got the southern project portion is YTL and TH Properties. So, you know, it looks like the project is moving right along. You know, yesterday's announcement comes about, 4 months after the PDP tender was called back in November of last year.
Yeah, it's interesting because the newcomers to the foray, I guess, YTL and Tabung Haji at MRCB, because these guys are, you know, largely township developers and construction guys. Gamuda is obviously the commonality there with the MRT. They were part of the consortium that they formed with MMC to build MRT1 and MRT2 under the project delivery partner model. Obviously, MRT3 is not using the PDP model, but something else. So they've returned, the government have returned to the PDP model for the high-speed rail, which essentially is a group of a consortium which manages the delivery of the project for a fixed fee for that number of years.
Yeah, and I think you rightly pointed out because, you know, it looks like YTL, you know, again, the contract hasn't been awarded yet. They have been appointed, but there's still some negotiations that have to be done. But once that contract is awarded, it would signal that YTL, they are really back in the rail game. Now, back in December of last year, they got that package of about 8.6 billion ringgit. That's for the Gemas Johor Bahru double tracking railway project. But between that, you know, the December 2017 project, you had to go all the way back to the 90s, you know, when they built the express rail link, the line that connects KL Central to the KLIA. You know, so there was a bit of a lull, right, in terms of YTL's involvement in these rail projects. But given, again, what happened with the Gemas JB project and also now the HSR, looks like YTL is really kind of back in the game. And that could spur some excitement in their stocks, at least.
Yeah, I mean, Tan Sri Francis Yeo has always preferred utilities type businesses where, you know, recurring income is very much at the order of the day. And you'd have to say, yeah, for them to return to the fold, I mean, it's going to be a 65 billion ringgit project, and for them to be basically among the PDPs, it's going to be a fixed fee. I think MRT1, MRT2 were essentially 5% a year of contract value for that defined period. So if it's 65 billion ringgit, what's 5% of that every year?
Right, yeah, and also keeping in mind, you know, YTL has really had their eye on this project for a while. So we learned that they've been actually toying with this idea of this high-speed rail service between KL and Singapore some 2 decades ago, so back in the 90s. And in fact, well, what we have learned is even back in 2006, right, some 12 years ago, YTL actually submitted an 8 billion ringgit proposal to the government for a high-speed rail link between Malaysia and Singapore. So I guess this news that we got yesterday, you know, kind of validates their stance or their long-term interest in such a project.
Okay, so the question, of course, is always financial viability. We can see how this would be desirable for the consumer, for the commuter, you know, wanting something other than planes. If the stations on both ends of the line are, you know, centrally located, this would be a great way to move between Singapore and Kuala Lumpur. But is it financially viable? And what kind of volumes do they need? And what kind of price point will it be? I mean, what is it going to be? Is it going to be more competitive than the airport, the airline?
Exactly. So if you leave it to the private sector to do this kind of project, they will never do it because the numbers don't add up. For the amount of money you put in and for the number of years it takes to get some kind of meaningful return, it doesn't make it sense. But you see, the thing is, you are the government and you have to do these things, right? And the only way, I mean, Malaysia does it via the public-private initiative where, you know, the private sector delivers, the government awards it to them. And, I mean, look, I mean, there is no commercial benefit in the medium to short term.
So if it's not commercial, what is the benefit? Well,
the multiplier effects between, shortening the distance between Malaysia and Singapore is innumerable, are innumerable.
Right, you know, it's all about the interconnectivity, right?
And
how it'll spill over to businesses, you know, people to people, connectivity as well, you know, all that good stuff. Now, going back to what you mentioned, right, the ticket prices, right? So, according to an estimate by ICS, you know, a one-way ticket price between KL and Singapore could cost between 180 to 200 ringgit, right? And this high-speed rail won't come online till I think the last day or the final days of 2026, right? So, well, you know, what is 180 to 200 ringgit, you know, in 2026 terms versus now? I guess consumers will then have to decide. But if you look at, say, YTL's involvement in the Express Rail Link, that's the line, again, connecting KL Central to the airports, that apparently ran into financial troubles over the last few years. They came online in 2002. You know, 2005, they had to restructure their debts, had to restructure their debts again in 2015. In 2015, they had to defer two payments that they owed to banks. You know, and there was talk about them, you know, I don't know if you guys remember this last year, of them trying to raise the ERL ticket prices. Government said no. In turn, government said, okay, we'll compensate you by extending your concession on that ERL, the Express Rail Link, by 30 years. You know, so I don't know if we can just view this just via the lens of financial sustainability, although it's a very, very important point. But as Chong pointed out, you know, there are broader concerns and perhaps broader benefits as well.
If you commute regularly to Singapore, tell us what you think. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Would you take the train to Singapore if it was a high-speed train? And
I would absolutely.
Because, you know, you don't have, perhaps will have less of the bureaucracy of
city commuter. Between, you don't have to navigate. Yeah.
Airports have much more in terms of security, and then there are all these other costs as well.
I guess ultimately the caveat is not at the right price, right?
Okay, let's move on to another train related story. The owners of the ECRL, of the East Coast Rail Link, have pushed back against allegations that the ECRL will squeeze out the local participation. They revealed that only 30% of total workers involved in the project will be foreigners. That leaves us with 70%.
Yeah, so Malaysia Rail Link, they are the owners of the 60 billion ringgit ECRL project. It'll be constructed by China Communications Construction. So these comments from Malaysia Rail Link comes on the back of comments made by Deputy Prime Minister Dato Sri Ahmad Zahid Hamidi, saying the developer of ECRL had actually applied to the government to hire more Chinese nationals for the project due to language accessibility. I guess the Huayi or Zhongwen is spoken here in Malaysia is different from the ones over there in China. Well, obviously. Yeah.
Well, I also think that, you know, the issue around these Chinese funded projects is that you see that in many countries. So these stories come from other countries as well. The stories of Chinese domination in terms of the workforce, the lack of local participation. This is not a uniquely Malaysian story.
No, it's not. And this is these are the intangible benefits, if you like, of China's wealth and influence in the world. Because what it is where China does its business, where it extends aid and economic benefit, is also China's wider economy, wider global economy. Because when you look at how large China is population-wise, 1.5, 1.6 billion people, maybe 1.1, 1.2 billion workers, you're not going to get full employment back home. You have to employ your people anywhere around the world that you can. And basically, their outposts, whether it's in China, whether it's in Malaysia, whether it's in Africa, or even Indonesia, wherever they do business within the One Belt, One Road initiative, is China's larger economy. And that's where they hire the people. It's not surprising that they would deploy their workers here where there are jobs.
Well, we can also speak about, we're actually running out of time. We're coming up to the top of the hour and we'll be back with the Breakfast Grill. Our guest this morning, Faisal Othman, CEO of Indah Water Consortium. Chuang, you'll be speaking to him. Remember, if you have any comments and questions, you can always tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.